Well, again, this evening, what a very, very fine audience we have. The majority of you, as I look out on the audience, I recognize that you have been here for each time of meeting. And, of course, it is my prayer and my thought that you will have received tremendous benefit in your worship to God and in your study of His Word. I need to tell Brother Whit, though, in case he doesn't know, that my preaching has made a lot of people cry. And so I keep hoping it will get better. Lessons from the cross. Lessons from the cross. Our brother, as he waited on the table, has read this heart-rending account of the death of our Lord Jesus. How could any individual read these gospel accounts of what these terrible men did to our Lord and not feel such great compassion and pity and love and hatred of all that was done? Have you been told that there is no difference in the religions of the world? One is just as good as another. In reality, whether it is the Buddhist faith, whether it is the Hindu faith, whether it is the Muslim faith, the Shinto, Christianity, they're all the same. All have a God. All believe in doing good. All are headed for the same place, or so we are told. It's a lie. It's a lie. They're not all the same. The religion of Jesus Christ is unique by its very nature. And the reason why this is so is because of the cross. Only the religion of the New Testament has a Savior that came down from heaven, that lived among men, and then that very Son of God mounted upon a cross and gave His very life's blood for you and for me and for all the world. Islam has nothing to compare with that. The Buddhist religion, Hinduism, whatever it may be that you're thinking of. I've heard people say, you know, these exotic Eastern religions, they just reach out and grab me. Oh, no. Oh, no, dear friend, you're not thinking right at all. None have a Savior that gave His very life for you except this religion of Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Do you feel that way? I hope so. Paul said to the Corinthians, "But I am determined that I will preach no other gospel unto you than that of Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is right at the center of the matter. If we were to remove that life of our Lord, that sacred death upon the cross, Christianity would be an empty shell, just as these other religions of the world are empty shells, having nothing to offer us, having no security of heaven. And yet, in Christ we trust, and in Christ we who are His followers must determine that we too will glory in nothing else except in that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be crucified by it to the world, and yet to live to Christ. These records that are found in each one of the Gospels are of such great benefit to us. Read them often. Don't wait for just the Lord's Day. Study the words that are there as it describes the agony of our Lord. Not only that physical pain that you can imagine as those cruel nails were being driven into His hands and into His feet. Imagine and see that here is the Lamb of God who is taking away the sins of the world. What have you learned from the cross? It has some powerful lessons. I'm persuaded that one lesson that every man, that all of mankind is in dire need of knowing, and that we should be able to learn from the cross, is God hates sin. God hates sin. Do you know the truth of the matter? The world is in love with sin. We're all having a love affair with this matter of sin. Oh, I'm able to see the faults, the failures, the transgressions of others, but when it comes to myself, I say, I'm not such a bad fellow. I'm not such a bad fellow. Oh, I do some things that are wrong, but you know, it's not really all that bad. And the devil continues to deceive me time after time after time. He wraps that sin up in such a beautiful package to make me think it is pleasure, it is entertainment, it really will not hurt me. At least if I look at this, if I participate in this, well, I'm just going to do it a little bit. It will never get a hold on me. The world is in love with sin. How could God go about teaching the exceeding sinfulness of sin? Have you thought about that project? How would God tell us just how sinful sin is? Would you look at Romans 8 and verse 3 with me? It reads like this. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Do you know that's what happened on the cross? Do you know that's what God was doing as all of that jeering mob was looking at the Savior of the world and crying out, save yourself if you can. Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. And with every dying breath that our Lord was taking as His body was bleeding, God is saying to those sinful men, to those very ones that were crying out, "Crucify him, let his blood be on us." God is saying, look what sin is doing. Not only is it true that sinful men crucified the Son of God, but you and I, as we read about the cross, need to understand God hates sin. God has condemned sin in His Son and His death on the cross. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for every man. Oh, it's wonderful. When I stop and think, Christ died for all of the world. Why is Christianity a worldwide religion in the sense that no other religion is? Not related to a particular race of people, not confined to a particular color of people, not confined to just a language group or to a continent. Christianity is not an American religion. Christ died for all men. How wonderful it is. When I travel through Asia, when I travel through Europe, when I go into the marketplace on Saturday morning, all of that surging crowd, Christ died for every man. And that's marvelous. But I'll tell you what is more marvelous than that. Christ died for me. He died for me. That's what really counts. The fact that I am able to say, weak, frail, insignificant Jean Tope, Christ died for you. How can I go on sinning? How is it possible that I could allow lust to form in my life? That I could think that I would be able to do this transgression or that transgression. That I would be able to hate my brother. That I would be able to have all manner of evil thoughts and evil deeds in my life. When I think about God condemning sin in the flesh. The cross tells us in a way that nothing else ever has about the love of God. Don't we all know that favorite passage in the Bible? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Our Lord Jesus knew what it was all about. He knew from the very beginning, as it was announced early in the Gospel of John, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Jesus knew when He began His mission, I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life on the cross for all of the world. And you know what? Greater love has no man than this. Greater love has no man than this. And do you know what we crazy people do? we say, that's all right. I'm glad God loved me. You know I deserved it. I deserved it. There's not a single person that has ever lived that deserved that kind of love. It is just not true. Oh, I'm so thankful for the writings of John where he tells me about this great love that God showed for all the world. I read in 1 John chapter 4. It says this in verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's true love. I want to tell you about the kind of love that man has. If you walk up here and kick my shin, buddy, you better look out because I'm going to kick you back. Did you know that? You punch me in the nose, boy, you better be guarding yourself because I'm going to come out just ready to let you have it. I try to be good to people and I try to love people, provided they're nice and they love me. There's so many people I don't love. They're my enemies. God's love was initial. It was first of all. God did not look down on the world when He made this grand and wonderful eternal scheme, saying, I'm going to send my only begotten Son to earth and He's going to die on the cross for mankind. God did not look down on the world and say they're worthy. That's not what happened at all. That's not what happened. The world was unworthy. I'm still unworthy. There is no way in which I can be worthy of that wonderful demonstration of the love of God. Again, as we look at Romans chapter 5, the apostle just makes this so abundantly clear when in verse 6 he says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And oh, we've never known that kind of love. Man does not know how to love in that way. To love people while they're the enemy. To love people while they are still in their darkest sins. And that's the love of God. Oh, you cannot look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ to see that dying and bleeding Savior of the world hanging there, to see Him even as that great Lamb who does not open His mouth. He does not murmur. He does not curse. But He simply says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Have you ever known of such wonderful love like that? What does it do for you? It teaches you to love. It teaches you to love all of the world Oh, no. Don't you ever get to the place where you say, I'm too good to have anything to do with the world. Look at this person. Look at that person. Look how bad they are. I'm not going to try to teach them the gospel. Are you selective in who you try to teach the gospel? Would you teach the harlots the way Jesus did? Would you teach the tax collectors? Would you teach those who cheat you and who mistreat you? The Son of God did all of that, and He gave His life on the cross for every one of us. No sinner too vile that they cannot be saved through the blood of Christ. No individual that can truthfully say, I'm too wicked for God to save me. But I'll tell you for sure, there's not a person among us that can ever say, I'm too good. I do not need the blood of Christ. And this is love, in that He loved us. Brethren, if God so loved us, so ought we to love one another. Let love abound in this congregation. Let love abound for every inhabitant in Appleton, and throughout all of Wisconsin, and wherever you may fly to, wherever you may go, wherever you may be, let love dominate your life so that you want the world to know about this Savior that died for them. But oh, there's a last lesson that we need to learn, dear friends. It's the lesson of obedience. Do you know what the cross teaches you? You've got to obey God. You've got to do what He says. Oh, my religious friends, that envision just through some kind of mental assent, and they say, I could see Jesus hanging there on the cross. I know that my Savior is really real. I believe in Him, and hallelujah, He's going to save me just because of that. No, He won't. That faith that you profess, that love for God that you're talking about, had better get busy, because it's got some things to do. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. He's not going to save you if you don't obey Him. This wondrous death on the cross will be absolutely in vain. It will do you no good at all unless you have that humble heart that would cause you to say, I believe. Lord, what will You have me to do? This entire weekend series has been built around this idea of trying to impress you with the fact you've got to follow Jesus. He makes it so clear. He makes it so easy for you. And that obedience doesn't just apply to you. It applies to every one of us. God is so impartial. God is so fair. He doesn't pick out one individual and say, you've got to do a whole lot more than this other person has to do. But I'll tell you what He does say. He says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And those very folks, that huge multitude that was gathered there on the day of Pentecost, who were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. This Jesus, whom you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, God has raised up. And they were pricked to the heart. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Have you thought about killing an innocent person? What if it was the Son of God that you had murdered? How could you possibly be forgiven? And Peter said to that murderous crowd, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then they that gladly heard his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Sinners forgiven, murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought into the grace and the loving hand of God. And God said, "I forgive you." And not only that, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, my dear friends, do you believe in the cross? Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Look how he condemned sin. Look how he teaches us. Sin is so bad, it costs my Son's life on the cross. Can you feel the love of God? Well, I'm not talking about some emotion that folks talk about where they want to stand up and shout hallelujah or honk your horn if you love Jesus. That's not what we're talking about, friends. Do you love him for loving you? Oh, I want all the world to know that I love Jesus. I want them to know that I have such love for the Heavenly Father because of what he did for me. But you can't be saved if you don't obey him. This third lesson is so important. You can go throughout all of the remainder of your life saying, "Oh, I love him. Oh, I want to tell others of my love for Jesus. And oh, I want to live a good life." But dear friend, the only way in which God can forgive you, the only way in which you can be made clean through this blood of the cross, is for you to say, "Not only do I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to turn from my sins in repentance." You may not be the murderer of Jesus Christ, but you have sins that need to be forgiven. We quoted Ananias the other day as he came to Saul, the murderer of Christians. Saul had been praying for 3 days. He had been neither eating nor drinking for 3 days. And Acts 22 and verse 16. "And now arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Dear friend, is there even one person in the audience tonight that says, "I love Jesus. I hate sin. I hate my own sins. And I want to obey him. I'll confess him this very night, before this good audience, I will arise and be baptized, and I'll let the Lord add me to His dear church. If that's the case, we sing a song that's been announced. We encourage you to do that right now. Don't be afraid. Come and obey.